السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله, we're on the 37th session of Sirah Nabawiyyah عليه الصلاة والسلام. And last week we talked about the journey of Ta'if, and we talked about how after the 3 years of the boycott, the Prophet ﷺ continued giving da'wah, and some say a few weeks, maybe a couple of months after the boycott was canceled, Abu Talib fell ill and he died. Then we had Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and the only wife of the Prophet at that time. She passed away soon after that. So we learned how the Prophet ﷺ lost two of his strong pillars that were supporting him. And after that, he continued giving da'wah, and then the death threats increased. The persecution of the kuffar, the torture and stuff increased when they saw the Abu Talib, the leader of the Banu Hashim, the leader of the Quraysh, who was the supporter of the Prophet ﷺ, even though he was not Muslim and he did not die as a Muslim. But he was a staunch supporter of the Prophet and protector of the Prophet ﷺ. After he passed away, they stepped up their efforts against the Muslims and against Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ, realizing that the people of Makkah will not become, at that point they will not support Islam, they will not become Muslim. So he sought to find a base outside of Makkah Mukarramah. So he turned to Ta'if, which is about 70 kilometers away from Makkah Mukarramah. And he went there on foot with Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anh. We talked about how he went and he gave da'wah to them. And there was reaction of the three leaders, the three brothers, that they rejected his message. And not only that, they did something that was far worse than rejecting the message, or not really far worse than rejecting the message, but it was similar to that severity, where they ridiculed the Prophet ﷺ, and they did what? What did they do to the Prophet ﷺ?
They said the street urchins after him,
throw outside. Yeah, so they sent the gangsters, you could say.
So like kids?
They were kids, teenagers, yeah.
Yeah, so they're known as street urchins.
What are they called?
They're known as street urchins.
Street?
Urchins.
Urchins?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, barakallahu feek. Okay, first time I heard that. Jazakallahu khair. So sent the street urchins against them. Stoning the Prophet ﷺ, and again picking him up, pushing him on, ridiculing, mocking the Prophet ﷺ. And then we talked about how he rested, and then after that he went back to Makkah. Now, one of the things about going back to Makkah Mukarramah, he went under the protection of Mut'im ibn Adi. And Mut'im ibn Adi, this was actually a kafir, and he did not even become Muslim after that, but he died as a kafir. He was one of those who helped annul the boycott against the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him for his protection, and he went under his protection into Makkah Mukarramah. Now, one thing I wanted to remind everyone and to make clear for everyone is that the Prophet ﷺ did not need the protection of Mut'im ibn Adi to go back to Makkah Mukarramah. Okay, this is not something that he was in need of it, that's why he went and did that. But this was, excuse me, this is taking the asbab, and it's teaching us, teaching the rest of the ummah, that we take the asbab and then we leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going under the protection of Mut'im, also going to Ta'if to look for a base, this is all taking of asbab, using the asbab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us, and this is not against the sunnah, this is not against Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, I want to make that clear, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing this. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just in Ta'if, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with the angel who is in control of the mountains. And he's being asked, if you wish, just give us the word, give us the ishara, and the angel will crush these people between these two mountains. Someone with that type of power, someone with that type of, that given that kind of choice, why would he need someone's protection? when he has the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, it was teaching us to use the asbab. Another thing that I want to mention was Khadija radhiallahu anha. I mentioned how old was she when she passed away?
68?
Close. It was very close. 65. Okay, so she was 65 and the Prophet ﷺ was 50 years old. So she was 15 years older than the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ did not marry any other wife during the time when he was married to Khadija radhiallahu anha. Now, one of the things that this teaches us, and remember I talked about the love that Rasulullah ﷺ had for Khadija radhiallahu anha, that even years after in Medina Munawwara, he would remember her often. He would remember his wife Khadija radhiallahu anha, even when her sister would knock on the door, and he would remember her knock. He would remember how she would knock. So that's how much love he had and affection he had for his wife Khadija radhiallahu anha. And what this teaches us, one thing, is because of our modern day and age, where we have, you know, these devices, the phone, we have, you know, TV, we have outside all around us in the environment all around us. It's easy for a person to keep his eyes, going wandering around and looking at different women and that kind of stuff. And you see nowadays this is a problem that's occurring because of all these, you know, these Hollywood and Bollywood and whatever, all these different movies out there and different stuff out there, that people are watching these films and watching these things. And then when they go home to their wife, who they've been married for 20, 25, 30 years, they're like, what am I going home to? So they're comparing what they see on the TV to what they have at home, and that grows, the shaitan comes, and they start getting waswasa and stuff, and then that person starts to grow to hate this wife and start to dislike this wife, saying, you know, that she's getting old, why should I, maybe I should go get a second wife, maybe I should go get a, na'udhu billah, go get a girlfriend and whatnot, na'udhu billah. The person goes into haram because of their eyes wandering around. So one of the things that this teaches us, the Prophet ﷺ, because of his taqwa, he married a woman that's 15 years older than him. And at this point, he's 50 years old, she's 65 years old, okay? And he's still faithful to her. He's not even thinking about a second wife, because his eyes were cast down. Because he would watch where he's looking. He's not looking at other women. So that he can, you know, start thinking, why is my wife doing this? Why is my wife looking like this? And that's another thing I want to add to that, is that for myself included, is that we have to worry about ourselves. So when we worry about our wives, why are they getting older? Why are they getting, you know, fatter sometimes? And different stuff. We have to worry about ourselves too. That we have to keep ourselves good looking and fit, just as we want our wives to look the same for us. Inshallah. So, going on, we talked about, okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, one other incident that occurred in between this time before Isra wal Mi'raj was the incident of the jinn. So the Prophet ﷺ met jinn who invited him. They asked the Prophet ﷺ to come to their qabila, to their tribe, and give them da'wah. So the Prophet ﷺ goes and gives da'wah to the jinn, and they accept Islam, and then the Prophet ﷺ goes back to Mecca. So the Isra wal Mi'raj, this actually occurred, the ulama say, majority of opinion of the ulama say it's about one year or 2 years before Hijrah. Okay, so this is about 622 Common Era, or the 11th or 12th year of the mission of the Prophet, after Ba'ath, after the Prophet ﷺ was given prophethood. So Isra wal Mi'raj, this is actually the answer to the dua of the Prophet ﷺ that he made in Ta'if. You guys remember when he was going, he was taking rest, and then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillati hilati wa hawani ala nas. He made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the end of the dua, remember I mentioned, he said, if you're not angry with me, then la ubali, I don't care. I don't care if the whole people, all the entire earth is against me, but if you are pleased with me, that's all that matters. So this Isra wal Mi'raj, this miracle that happened, and some of the ulama say this is the greatest miracle after the Quran itself. Isra wal Mi'raj was an answer to the dua of the Prophet ﷺ in Ta'if. And basically, inshallah, we're going to go on. It's going to probably take a few weeks to cover this. But the Prophet ﷺ is basically giving tasliya, giving tasalli, that you are the Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't, even if these guys ridicule you, they mock you, they try to kill you, whatever they try to do, as long as you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, after being, losing the year of sorrow, Aam al-Huzn, okay, the year of sorrow, losing his uncle, losing his wife, being rejected at Taif, and not even rejected, being stoned at Taif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising him so high that he went above the heavens. And he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you see again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering that dua that he made at Taif. Now Isra wal Mi'raj, this is made up of two separate incidents. You have Isra, okay, and this is the night journey. The meaning of that is the night journey, okay, from Makkah Mukarramah going to Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. That's the first leg of the journey, you could say. And then there was a layover, there's a stopover in Jerusalem, in Bayt al-Maqdis. And then you have the second part of this journey, which is the Mi'raj, which is the ascension up to the heavens. Going the Uruj, going up to the heavens. And then after that was the return, okay, going back to Jerusalem and then back to Makkah Mukarramah. Now this all happened in one night. This all happened in one night. And it happened with the body and the soul, both body and soul. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't like anything like a state of unconsciousness, anything like that. It was with the body and the soul, and it was all in one night. So we have two parts. Actually, there's some other ayat that allude to the this incident also. But we have two main parts. Surah Al-Isra, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, holy is he who carried his servant by night from the masjid, the holy masjid in Makkah Mukarramah, to the further masjid in Jerusalem, whose surroundings we have blessed, that we might show him some of our signs. Indeed, he alone is all hearing and all seeing. And also in Surah Al-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident again, and actually the second part where the Mi'raj, where the Prophet ascends to the heavens, and the meeting between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sidratul Muntaha, and that whole incident that happened at that time. Now the ahadith, we have ahadith, many ahadith. I'm sorry?
Which ayat are you
referring to? Surah Al-Najm, ayahs number 7 through 18. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى. Those ayat are referring to that meeting between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have many ahadith. There's so many ahadith about this incident, about Isra wal Mi'raj. It's tawatir and mutawatir. And the hadith of Abu Dharr radhiyallahu anhu, we have in Sahih Bukhari. We have the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari. And first of all, before I continue, who is Abu Dharr? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu. We spoke about him way in the beginning. It was like maybe second, third lesson. He was one of the Hunafa. Hunafa were those who were the people who were on the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before the Quran was revealed. Okay? And we talk about how he became Muslim, and then he was beaten, remember, 3 days in a row, because he went out in front of the Kaaba and he declared the Shahada in front of everyone. So he was beaten badly 3 days in a row. Okay, that's Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So he's one of those who narrate the hadith. Also Anas ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu. In the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, he says that قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فرج عن سقف بيتي وأنا بمكة فنزل جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام. So in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sleeping in his. Okay, first before I go to that, a lot of the ulama say it's the 27th of Rajab. It's not for certain. We don't know for certain if that's the tariq, if that's the date. But a lot of the ulama say it was on the 27th of Rajab when this Isra wal Mi'raj occurred. And that's what, 2 months away? I think 2 months. Yeah, about 2 months away. Okay, so Furija an Saqfi Bayti wa Ana bi Makkah. The Prophet says, I was sleeping in my house, and all of a sudden the roof of my house split open, was opened up. So you can imagine Jibreel alayhi salam coming, and he basically ripped open the roof of the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and then he takes the Prophet ﷺ to the Masjid al-Haram, takes him to the Kaaba, to the Hatim. And there's different rawayah, there's different reports. Some say that he was sleeping in his own house. Some of the rawayat say that he was in the Hatim. Some others say he was in the house of his cousin Umhani bint Abi Talib, the daughter of Abu Talib, so his cousin. And there's the explanation of that in Sharh Muslim. The ulama say that he was actually with Ja'far radhiyallahu anhu, his other cousin, and his uncle Hamza radhiyallahu anhu, and they were actually at the house of Umhani. So it could have been maybe a dinner party, and they ate, and then they went to sleep at night. So while they're sleeping, in that rawayah comes that the Jibreel alayhi salam comes with Mikael alayhi salam, another angel, and they say that is him, the one in the middle, meaning the one who's sleeping in the middle. And then they rip open the roof, basically they take the Prophet ﷺ and go to the Hatim. Now when they take him to the Hatim, the Shaqul Sadr, the second splitting of the chest happens. And do you guys remember when was the first splitting of the chest? When he was a kid, but when? When he was with Halima Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha. So he was with Halima in their Banu Sa'd. He was, remember the children would be sent out of Makkah to the desert. So he was in there, and then that's when Jibreel alayhi salam came first time. He was a young boy at that time, and they pinned him down, they split open his chest, and they cleaned out his heart, and they took out a piece of flesh and they threw it away. Now this is the second, actually some ulama say this is even the third. They say the second one occurred in the Ghar Hira, when right before the revelation, the first revelation of the Quran. But the other ulama say, no, this is the only two times it happened, and this is the second time. So here the Prophet ﷺ says, ثُمَّ أُتِيتُ بِتَسْطٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ. So a like a container, like a bowl, okay, or a platter, you could say, of made of gold was brought forth. So Jibreel alayhi salam had this gold platter or bowl. Mamlu'atin imanan wa imanan, and then another hadith, iman wa hikmah, that it was full of iman, full of faith, and full of hikmah, full of wisdom. So they brought this gold platter full of iman and full of hikmah, wisdom. Faghusila qalbi thumma hushiya thumma aid. So they took out, remember, they ripped out his art, they cleaned it with ma'a zamzam, okay, second cleaning or third, you could say cleaning. And then they filled it with hikmah and with iman. And then they put it back into his chest, and they basically sewn up or, you know, closed up his chest. Second open heart surgery. The Prophet ﷺ is watching. He's awake just as the first time when he was a child. Second time he's watching this happen, and his heart is put back in, his chest is closed. And now the journey begins. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he was basically, he went from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem, the first part of the journey. And one of the things that happened, one of the things that I want to mention here, inshallah, is that we look at the companionship, the importance of good companionship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is summoning the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heavens. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent wahi to the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, come to Jerusalem or come to the heavens, and it would have happened all the way. But the Prophet ﷺ, the King of Kings, is sending Jibreel alayhi salam, the highest ranking angel, to go and bring the Prophet ﷺ. And Jibreel alayhi salam, being the companion of the Prophet ﷺ in this journey, showing us the importance of companionship wherever we go. If we go to seek knowledge, Okay, if we're in, you know, weekend seminars in a madrasa, or if we're going jamaat, for example, if we're doing anything that we go, we're traveling, we need to have a good companion. We need to have a good person to travel with, so that we can benefit and we do not get distracted from the purpose of that journey. So now the Prophet ﷺ is being summoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's traveling with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll talk about how they traveled, the animal called Buraq. I'll talk about it in detail inshallah next week, and the details of what happened on the journey. It wasn't just like a quick journey. There were some things that happened on the way, some quick stops on the way to Jerusalem. So inshallah we'll continue with that. And again, this will probably span over another 3-4 weeks inshallah. So please, you know, try to attend all the sessions inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhanallah. Sorry.
Jibril alayhi salam, when he was for this open heart surgery, Rasulullah alayhi salam, and to wash the heart of Rasulullah alayhi salam, they brought the bowl from Jannah.
Yep.
But the water they got from Zamzam.
Barakallahu feek, yes. Yeah, so the water, yeah, and same thing with the first time, when the Prophet was a young child. And the ulama say about that is the fadl, the importance or the merit of Zamzam over any other type of water, even over the water of Jannah. Jazakallah khair, barakallahu feek.
Did he say that it hurt?
I'm sorry?
Did he say that it hurt? Open heart surgery?
Allahu alam, I'm not sure. Yeah,
I would be freaking out.